He is here, Sean Duke, the science man, the cool scientist telling us about the science stories in the news. And Sean, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Declan.
And I was fascinated to see that Sir Tim Hunt, the guy who was in the 70s, and he said about working with women in laboratories that if you criticise them, they cry.
Yeah.
And the difficulty is they fall in love.
Yeah.
And all things like that. So he got into fierce trouble. But what's happened?
This is causing consternation now in the science world. Just to remind people, if they haven't heard the story, this guy, he's 72 years of age now. He's still working, still very active, and won the Nobel Prize in 2001 for discovering these proteins that are very important. But anyway, he was at a meeting of the world. I think he was naive. I mean, that's the first thing I would say if you're looking for my view on it, but people have different views. He was speaking. What he said that got him into trouble was at this World Conference of Science Journalists, okay, which he was at in Korea, and he was asked to speak because he's very high profile and he's involved with the European Commission. So he was speaking to journalists, but this was a side meeting of this group of science journalists, and he was speaking to specifically a group of women journalists and women scientists. Okay, so that was his audience. That's the first thing. Now, what he said, what was quoted, of course, the people there were going to quote this back. So what he's saying is that he tried to make a lame joke and it went wrong. And the quote that got him into trouble, well, I read it, is short. So he says, "Let me tell you about my trouble with girls. Three things happen when they're in the lab. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you. And when you criticize them, they cry. Perhaps we should make separate labs for boys and girls."
Ooh, okay, boys and girls, yeah. And girls, yeah.
Boys and girls, right. So that really got him into serious trouble, and Twitter went crazy, and it was so bad that he actually, this is one of the world's top scientists, Nobel Prize winner, but within days he had to resign from his position as honorary professor at the University College London. The Royal Society wouldn't let him run the Biological Sciences Awards. He was on their committee, and the European Research Council, which is this really prestigious European thing, he had to resign from that as well. So basically his career was completely in shreds. Now after that, we thought that was the end of the story. The guy was very foolish and he got his just desserts. But there was this twist in the tale, because people like Richard Dawkins came on Twitter and various media, and Brian Cox, these are big names, and they said, "Listen, he's been badly done by. Let's look at this again." And at the same time as that, somebody who was there took a transcript of what was happening. There wasn't a journalist. It was a person who was there from the European Commission who was writing as well, everything that was said by the guy. This has come out now. And apparently this transcript has backed up what Hunt was saying in terms of he was trying to make a joke, because there was a passage before the offending bit I've just quoted, which said, and he said, "No, seriously," this is after his comment, "I'm impressed with the economic development of Korea," where he was talking from, "and women scientists played without doubt an important role in it. Science needs women, and you should do science despite all the obstacles."
So it wasn't quoted.
So that wasn't quoted. So he made this joke that was in very bad taste and very foolish, and then he said this afterwards. So that puts a different context on it. And now a lot of his colleagues and supporters want him reinstated. But meanwhile, a lot of people don't want him reinstated. And there's all stuff going around on social media of girls, you know, that's saying how he made some remark about girls sexy in the lab, and they're dressed up in these Intel bunny suits and saying how sexy is all this kind of stuff going on. So it's still live. We don't know what's going to happen.
But, right. Watch this space for Doug. Sir Tim Hunt. Mm. Now, mass extinction of species could threaten us humans as well. You want to talk about that? And I always think that if the bees go, we're gone.
We've talked about the bees. Yeah. The bees are just one part of this, though, because as people that would know the countryside well in Ireland and lots of places around the world, but people that grew up in Ireland in the countryside in the 50s and 60s, 70s, will know that there were a lot of things there that just seem to have disappeared completely. Where have they gone? And this just isn't in Ireland. This is around the world, that species of plants and animals are disappearing at an alarming rate. The bees have got a lot of publicity because the bees are so crucial to pollinate crops, and without pollination we don't have crops and we'll starve pretty soon. But if you lose all of these species, then the whole environment, the ecosystem that everything else is based on, changes. Now this legendary character in science, Paul Ehrlich, he wrote a book in the 60s that was very well, it was a bestseller called The Population Bomb. He's now getting into this, and he's saying that we're in the middle of a huge mass extinction event. There have been six in the Earth's history, where there's been an almost wipeout of species, and then new species have emerged, the most famous being the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were there, and then they were gone, right? They were masters of the Earth. We're masters of the Earth now. We think we won't be gone. Well, maybe we should think again. We could be gone, because our whole basis for surviving here is based on the bees, is based on crops, is based on animals. He's saying that we have time to do something about it, but that the window is closing, and meanwhile the clock is ticking. Every day, literally, you're getting new species disappearing. Not the big things like the tigers and the lions that get the news, but the insects, the tiny little creatures that make up these ecosystems. And he thinks that at the current rate we're going, that if we don't do anything, that we're going to be at an irreversible position within three generations, if we just sit and do nothing.
Frightening. But yeah. Who is watching us?
Yeah. Facial recognition software has got very advanced, and there was an interesting thing in the US recently, just last week there, where they were trying to get a code of practice for facial recognition technology. The talks fell apart because the private companies that want to use the facial recognition technology refused to go along with what the privacy people, the civil liberties people, wanted, which was, if you're going to identify people using facial recognition technology in a shop or in a public place, you have to get permission beforehand. You have to tell the person that they're being monitored or they're being identified. And the companies wouldn't go along with that. They refused to do that, so fell apart. So then you have to say, well, who's interested in this? Governments are interested. The US government, for example, terrorists and all of that, they're building up these huge databases of images where they could, well, it's obvious what they could do. If there's a terrorist, then match it with an image, it lights up, that kind of thing. But the software is getting really good, so you can see people now, you can recognize and make a match at distance, or if people is looking to one side, or you know, that kind of, the software is brilliant. But then maybe more insidious is this, what's going on in social media, because you've got the Facebook facial recognition software where you put your name in when the face comes up and the people in the crowd, so you can build up a profile that way. Are we sure that that information isn't going to be passed on to a third party?
But they're talking about they would have lighted up billboards with, say, product ads going into a supermarket, and if you were there before, then there's face recognition. When they see you coming in, the machine clicks, oh, there is Sean Dew coming into a shopping, and the ads all change. Come in to the supermarkets and say, here's the things he buys. Right, so they advertise to you.
Absolutely, personalised advertising, because they know you're in there. And there's, funny you should mention that, there's a company in the US that's actually Face First, they're called. Look them up online. And if they know the big spenders, and if one of them comes into a shop, they're offering to alert the shops with this software, here's one of your big spenders, just come in. There you go, pounce, sell them things. There's another, do you want to hear one more?
Yeah.
ChurchX, it's called. That's a company that uses facial recognition to monitor church attendance. So it's been used in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, but it's going to be regulated of some sort, I suppose.
Europe, at the moment, you're in Europe, the you have to inform the individual. The US is a free-for-all. I predict what's going to happen is you'll have companies that will develop based on facial recognition technology, lots of these services we're talking about. The European companies will say, listen, we need that because the Americans are making all this money based on it, and there's going to be pressure to change the law in Europe. But at the moment, the law is you have to tell people.
Right, that their image has been captured.
Exactly.
To be used. Now, lads, your son, for example, good at maths.
He's good at maths, thank God, yeah. Got his first report, but there's
takes
this
after his mother.
Thanks, Declan. It probably does. But men, generally speaking, think they're better at maths. But the what's fascinating about it is that research from the US says that men are better at maths, But our thesis is that they're better at maths because they think they're better at maths. So it's this thing in education called the self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have a teacher, you know, from years ago, the teacher says, you're a bunch of dummies, you're going nowhere, you guys, then that's what happens. Whereas if they say, you're absolutely fantastic at mathematics, that gives you a boost, encourages you in a certain direction. We know that more men are in these technology areas in America, all over the world, not just America. But this study, it was interesting because what they did was they got undergraduates, so 18, 19-year-olds who were in science courses in the US, they asked them to do a test, and they asked the boys and the girls, or young men and women, to say how they did afterwards. And the boys reported, oh yeah, I was brilliant, and I was great at problem solving, and they exaggerated the extent of their abilities. The girls were more accurate. They predicted exactly how many they got right. But the thing about it is that confidence that the boys have, that they're good at this, seems to encourage them in that direction. And ultimately, it means they're better at it because they put more effort into it.
So, it's not both genders are equally good at maths, but it's the attitude towards.
Well, in fact, you could take it a stage further and say that in primary schools and in the US, in what do they call them, grade schools, girls are outperforming boys in maths. So not only are the girls the equal, they might be even better than the boys. So it's just a confidence issue.
Right, some comments coming in. Stephen Ballinclash says, political correctness gone mad. Obviously, some in scientific community weren't fans of Father Ted's lovely girls competition. Yeah, down with that sort of stuff. And also, I'm a woman and I think women have to lighten up. It's getting to the stage where no one can open their mouths. No such thing as free speech anymore, says Phil. Thanks, Phil. SeanDuke.com.
That's Science Spinning. Thanks, Declan.
Thanks, Sean.